question about sports.
Oh, sports.
Sports. I love the heartbeat behind this question, too.
Let's talk sports.
Let's talk sports.
A sports ball.
Sports ball. John, some of you guys, our listeners, would know Pastor John Bowen. He's one of the guys on our staff.
I know, amen. Let me tell you something. I do not like him. I did not like him at all.
Oh,
raise your hand right now if you don't like John Bowen.
Oh, look, no one else raised their hand. Matter of fact, you might be the only person
on planet Earth that doesn't like John Bowen.
But we did a March Madness contest with our staff, and I don't know, probably 2/3 of our staff filled out a bracket and stuff. And John is Mr. Sports Ball. I mean, John is not a like watch sports guy. He's not a, he doesn't do that at all. And he won one of the top five brackets. Yeah. So it goes to show you that there really is madness to that.
Well, it's funny. Our family has a fantasy football thing, and, Naomi, our daughter, has won it twice, and she does. I'm not sure she's ever watched a football game in her life. She just knows how to research it and play the odds.
That's awesome.
So it's fun.
Good for her. She should start a podcast.
Yeah, she should.
To win fantasy football without liking football, with Naomi Bogue. Well, that's not this podcast. This podcast is Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue, and I am Joe Caruso, your host. Certainly glad to have you here. There are a lot of voices out there. They're trying to get you to play fantasy football. They're trying to get you to fill out your March Madness brackets. Even my daughter was showing me a bracket buster video the other day. I'm like, you're 11, and you're showing. Okay, cool, which is awesome. But there's a lot of voices out there, news, social media, comedians, friends. It is tough to know what to think or how to make decisions. So we just want to help you sort through the noise and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through the mixed messages around us and find the way of Jesus. Let's get into it. Jeff, today we have another listener that is trying to figure out, in particular, how they can best lead their family. So let's go ahead and here's their question. We are a blended family of six, and all four kids are heavily involved in sports. Lately, we've been feeling a strong conviction that most of our time and finances are being directed towards athletics. Mm. As two adults who were raised in the church and built on a strong foundation of faith, we're starting to reflect on how our kids are now the same age we were when our own faith journeys began. Right now, sports are the number one reason they would miss church. If we weren't navigating a blended family situation, we would honestly scale sports back significantly. However, we do share parenting with another parent who also prioritizes sports over church. Our concern is that if we limit sports during our parenting time in order to attend church, it would create added tension and potentially make church feel like something negative due to the conflict between homes. On the other hand, salvation is the most important thing, so we're conflicted. We also work hard to fit in family devotions and sometimes play the adult service for the kids when that's what we're able to do. So they still stay connected in some way, but we know they need more. We're trying to find a healthy and wise balance that honors our faith without creating unnecessary strain in the co-parenting dynamic. What would you recommend?
That is a very dynamic question. So first of all, good job in devotions and even playing the service, like making sure that there's a diet available to the kids of spiritual things. The co-parenting dynamic is the big question here. So, I'm not sure we're talking about sports as much as we're talking about co-parenting and what that looks like. And the fact of the matter is that you have to work with the other parent who also has claim and time and rights to the kids. So I would start by just trying to communicate with them and saying, hey, is there a way that we can bring some balance to this? You know, financially, it's really draining us. We feel like the kids aren't balanced. Could we keep a Wednesday night free so they can go to youth group, or a Saturday night or a Sunday morning so that we can go to church? And I would try to communicate with the other parent on the other end of that line. If they won't communicate or they don't have an interest in it, then the stark reality is that you go back to your parenting agreement and you're bound to it. Uh-huh. And so if you're bound to the kids playing sports, or if the other parent has a say and they won't budge, you're going to have tension. Mm-hmm. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to try to have to fill that spiritual void in the best way that you could possibly can. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have brought it in with me. It's out in my truck, but I was just handed a book today written by a pastor who's pretty pro sports. We'll put it in the show notes so that you can have it. And basically what he's saying is, if you're at weekend tournaments and you're out and about in the sports life, have devotions with the people at the tournament. Have a prayer time in the bleachers, you know. So you're kind of taking your faith on the road and you're integrating it into the sports regiment that you're working there. Mm-hmm. So they're not really asking me a sports question. They're asking me a parenting question. And when you have gone through divorces and there is co-parenting, what you did was you are in a legally binding contract.
Sure.
And you have to abide by that contract unless the other party is willing to be flexible or change the contract. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the reasons God hates divorce. You know, it's painful, it's frustrating, it's disunifying, yep. And there's really no other way around it. Mm-hmm. And then what I see parents go through all the time is they're always deciding, if I go to war with my ex-spouse, what does that do to my kids? Mm-hmm. And so you're always weighing a cost-benefit equation, and you're making the decision that's best for the kids. So that's my best counsel. My best counsel is keep it up. Mm-hmm. You're doing a good job. And then I would try to communicate is the second thing I would say. If you can't and they won't, mm-hmm. then I would brainstorm around how do we build a church-like community with the travel baseball team. You know, how do we add in some kind of biblical community for the kids? Can the kids get involved in an FCA or a Young Life, mm-hmm. you know? And that's the parenting question. Now, the sports part of it mm-hmm. is a completely different conversation.
Before we go there, there really are so many ways to, like you were starting to rattle a few off. One of the things that could be creative is if you two, I'm going to speculate here for a second. If your kids love sports and they're decent at them, but they're not amazing at them, there's ways to be involved in sports that can't actually be super like God focused.
There's a ton of ways here at Grace
Church.
That's
kind of what I'm hinting at. And so for instance, just this morning, our sports director was like, hey, we're looking for high sports counselors for sports camps, and you can interact with these kids, do sports all day long, help them do, like, so it still gets a lot of that emphasis if sports are a very high priority for the other co-parents, but it allows them to be a part of the church community and a part of what God is doing and build those friendships, build those connections, and they themselves learn more and more about what it means to be connected with God as an example. So there's countless ways that can cross over as well, but I love that. How do you creatively build that Christ-like focus in the environments that you're already connected to? Yeah. It's really, really good.
Probably the biggest impact on your kids' lives is going to be how you respond to your ex. Mm-hmm. And so this is a family conversation. It's a divorce conversation. And what you have to do, especially in a contentious divorce environment, you have to do the best you can.
Yeah.
And you have to try to bring in the best relationships that you can mm-hmm. and the best substitutes that you can.
Yep.
And God will honor that. Mm-hmm. You know, God is, I don't think God's angry. I think he absolutely loves your children. Mm-hmm. And I think God gives us a lot of grace when we're mm-hmm. trying, so to say.
Yeah.
And the reality of divorce and shared parenting is the reality.
Yeah, I think that the reality of them watching you, because one of the things that's not in the question, so it's just not obvious, is what does your personal walk with God look like too? Because you certainly don't want a version of do as I said you should do, not as I do. So not only how you interact with your exes on this particular situation, but how you interact with each other, how you parent. Do they see you pursuing Jesus? Do they see you living out the things that God has asked you to do? Because I've just recently helped and officiated a couple of funerals in the last couple of weeks, and at both, they both had such a strong testament of, I remember waking up every morning seeing my dad with the scripture eating his breakfast. Like, and it was just, that's what rang with them 45 years later.
Yeah.
You know, and so your kids are not going to remember. They said we should have got involved in church. They are going to remember if you're running after Jesus personally.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But you're right, Jeff. You were about the segue. And I think a ton of our listeners, maybe this isn't the exact question that's interacting with their household, but they would have a very similar question on how on earth do I navigate a priority of sports and schedules and teams and travel leagues, but also a connection to like, but I kind of want to be involved in the church too. How do we do that?
I think every family has to live with the reality. This is reality. It's the law. It's irrefutable. Here it is. Ready? Mm-hmm. You reap what you sow. And so I don't mean that as an accusation. Nope. I mean it as a very, very important parenting principle. If I sow that sports is the highest priority in our family, I will get a kid that is driven by sports. Mm-hmm. And to do that, I'm going to tack on some church here and there. But you're taking them to the religion of sports, mm-hmm. And the hobby of faith.
Right.
If I invert it, then I take them to the religion or the foundation of sports, to faith and the hobby of sports. Mm-hmm. And it is a massive lie within our culture that sports trains your kids. Sports develops your kids, and sports is something that gives you a lifetime worth of foundation to work off of. Just look at all the world-class athletes who completely malfunction. Mm-hmm. And then the ones who don't malfunction but don't walk with Christ, and then the ones who throw a little Jesus and you find out about their private life. Mm-hmm. And then there's one or two that you're like, that guy is a 100% legitimate follower of Jesus Christ. So the sports do not produce. When you sow sports, you do not produce integrity and character. That is not the way that it is. If you are sowing integrity and character and godliness, sports like band, like dance, like academics can help to enhance or be platforms that you practice those things on. Mm-hmm. So I just would tell parents, like, I love you so much. Your kid is not going pro. Mm-hmm. We've been here for 33 years. We have tens of thousands of kids that were raised at Grace Church. We have one of them that's in the NFL.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just not going to happen. You will probably wind up with more college money by not paying for every camp and travel team for your kids than they would ever earn if they got a scholarship. So if a kid is a phenomenal athlete, then you approach that spiritually by them maximizing their gifts, just like if they're a phenomenal musician. I don't know if people know that the first chair oboe player for the Cleveland Orchestra is from Grace Church. Well, how many first chair oboe players are there on the planet?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So he's a phenom. He loves Jesus, by the way, very deeply. And he uses his giftedness for Christ, but he was given a faith foundation before he was given a music foundation, and you just have to be realistic about it. So I look, and this was Heidi and I's philosophy. Our kid, by the way, four of our six children play varsity sports. Mm-hmm. And five of our six all played to some degree in high school.
Sure.
So, and then our one who didn't, it just isn't that interested in sports. He actually is a phenomenal musician. Mm-hmm. So that's the path he went down. So I'm not anti-sports. Our kids played when they were little. They played in junior high. They played in high school as hobbies.
Right.
And then there were life lessons. The coach yelled at me. I didn't like it. Well, you need to be teachable. The kid made me mad. I wanted to punch him. Well, you got to control your temper. So there's all these life lessons. But they were, our kids were built off of, all of our kids love Jesus. Mm-hmm. They all walk with the Lord. And they all serve the Lord very strongly. And they're all sports fans. Like, Cavs are in the playoffs right now. Mm-hmm. That's all that's happening in my family, right? So we're sport. I like sports, oh, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it has to stay in the hobby category. And when it is, when anything other than Christ is defining your family, when anyone other than mother and father is raising your kids, mm-hmm. Guys, you look at the amount of time a kid spends with coaches as opposed to the amount of time they spend with their dad. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I coach my kids' teams. I'm like, that's awesome. That's also not, that's not a normal or real relationship. Mm-hmm. You're not talking about their heart when you're talking about their curveball.
Right.
And I encourage you to coach their teams. Mm-hmm. But you just have to be realistic about it. So in a culture that is sports obsessed, how's the family doing? Mm-hmm. How's anxiety? How's depression? How's suicidal ideation? See, it doesn't produce what we want it to. And I don't think that it's a negative thing if it's kept in balance. Yeah. Now, what I would say is this. If your kid has a unique ability, I think you should feed it.
Sure.
I just think you should take your faith. So you should have the Bible study in the lobby of the hotel for the travel team.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yep.
You should say, hey, guys, it's Sunday morning. We're on the road. Our game's not till 4 p.m. Let's find a church and we'll all go and I'll take you out to lunch. Mm-hmm. So you can utilize those platforms.
Absolutely.
And I think everybody needs to be realistic.
Yep.
AAU and all these programs, these are for-profit things. They are, and so they're going to tell you your kid has a future no matter what because they want to keep you in the program. This is where, like, alternative things like what we do here at Grace and stuff like that, where we're like, just let's get the lessons out of it. Let's keep the fun in it, and then let's put it away.
Yep.
You know, one night a week playing sports is great. Being on varsity, that's obviously five or six nights a week with practices. I'm like, right, you're in high school. You need to be becoming your own person. That's great. You made varsity. Go do it. Uh-huh. You know, my deepest conversations with my kids playing varsity weren't about whether they scored or what their technique was. It was always the coach.
Yeah, right.
He didn't play me. He yelled at me. He yanked me from the game. He, uh-huh. You know, and so... But I can have those same conversations if my kid got in trouble working at Chick-fil-A.
Sure.
That's the engagement that mm-hmm. you're looking for with it.
I just happened to look up this website. It was from last year. It's just one resource, but it's fascinating numbers because basically what it's saying is one in almost 11,000 kids will get picked to play in the NBA. One in almost 13,000 will get chosen to play in the WNBA. One in 4,000 will get picked by an NFL team. But that's one in 4,000. Now, here's what's fascinating. If you go on down through in all the parents that they surveyed in this, 11% of parents said my kid can go pro. And 11% of parents said my kid could probably play in the Olympics.
Yeah, 11%. You're nuts.
So that's the disparity. That like one in 10,000 is going to make it, but one in 10 said my kid will be that one.
When I was a youth pastor, we brought in a ex-NBA player. He was the seventh man on the bench. So this isn't even like a name that people would know, right? Mm-hmm. But he was a Jesus follower, and we were going to do a youth rally, and he was going to present the gospel at it. as a way to make a connection and kind of do something fun, we went to Norton High School. They had a student assembly, and he played 1-on-5 the varsity boys basketball team. He killed them.
Oh yeah,
1-on-5. The delineation between anybody in the pros and a Division I athlete. So, and there are kids who do it, and I'm not disparaging that. Everybody's going to have a marriage problem. Everybody's going to go through pain. Everybody's going to wind up empty. Everybody has an eternity in front of them.
Everybody.
And I'm all for, I mean, I'm the pastor that built the gym.
You know,
I am not anti at all. It's just priorities. And when that gym is facilitating a men's group, a biblical community, and those old fat guys want to play basketball, great. When it's facilitating kids, when it's the junior high girls volleyball camp that we just had, I'm like, that's awesome. It's fun. It's a way. But as a parent, I have to keep all that in perspective. I think here's my biggest thing. If you told the coach no as much as you tell Jesus no, I mean, come on. Can we just be honest about this? You tell the coach no. You'll tell Jeff no all the time. You'll tell Jesus no all the time. If Jesus got half the money the coach got. This is where it becomes an idol, and it's different. If like Heidi and I spend a lot of money helping our kids go to college, we want to give them a launch in life. If your kid's really good and they need that invested in sports, I'm like, that's a different conversation. But when that is, they're a kid that's kind of on the bench, you have to become realistic. And what I would just say is make faith the foundation and sports the hobby. Faith is the foundation and sports is the hobby. Well, that means the foundation takes precedence over the hobby. You would say that to your kids if they said, I want to play video games and not study for my math test. You would say that to your kids if they said, I want to go out with my friends instead of doing my yard work. We need to say that to our kids with, I don't feel like going to church tonight. I want to play a third sport. Or I don't feel like getting up this morning because I just got off of the travel baseball team. And it's just looking, it's not being a jerk. It's not being exclusive, but it's like, no, there are things that drive us as a family, and this has to stay in its proper place. And I would, by the way, I'm barking about sports, dance.
Oh, it's everything.
Music. I mean, theater. Theater's worse than sports.
And I was, we were in both.
We were in both. And I'm like, it just had, I'm pro. By the way, I'm not negative on busy seasons. You know, like when
unless your busy season's 48 weeks out of the year.
That's right. You know, I'm like, I get tournaments. I get, we travel these 2 weeks. And I'm like, I'm not negative on that stuff. It just can't be the idol of the home. And I think we teach that. The thing you teach your children to obey is the thing you're teaching them is God. And so we teach them to obey the teacher, to obey the coach, to obey the dance instructor, and, you know, blow off youth group and we don't feel like doing church today. So you've positioned them to have a false god with it.
Paul summarizes what you've been saying very, very well in 1 Timothy 4. He says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. And that's what you're getting at. It's like, go ahead. It's good. It's fine. But don't let it run things. That's, and I think back to our listeners, you know, like, it sounds like you at least have the heartbeat of the second half of this episode. And so now it's a matter of like, how do you navigate that with your co-parenting?
That's exactly what, that's a great tie back, Joe. Like the family that wrote the question, I would look at you guys if you were sitting here and say, good job. You're in the right tensions. And I appreciate that, respect it, and I would feed it. You're in a legal contract with your ex-spouse. And that affects directly what you want to do. I don't, you would have to look and say, I want to go to court and get that agreement changed. Well, what that actually is a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to court and fight my, I'm like, is that going to get you where you need to be? Mm-hmm. You know, or are you just going to have to work around it best you can and help your kids have that perspective?
Yeah.
It's a tough one. It really is. I just pray for you guys and empathize. I love your heart so much, and I empathize with the tough position you're in. And I'm just going to pray that God gives you wisdom, because I know you're committed to doing your best with it. And that alone is, I think, really massive. And I think it will even come through. The kids will understand that through time.
I'll tell you what, Jeff, why don't we shift gears and why don't we close by you praying for this family?
Yeah, I would love to do that. Cool. Jesus, I do just pray for this family. And Lord, that's a difficult situation. So thank you for a mom and dad that love their children, love you, want what's best for them. And Lord, I just pray that you give them an extraordinary amount of wisdom, of discernment, even creativity, God, of how to sort through the dilemma that they're in. Lord, if you would open the doors to their ex-spouses and just maybe allow there to be a conversation of balance and a conversation of flexibility, go before that. And God, just surround them in every way. Lord, I pray for all parents. Parenting is hard. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's full of joy, and it's not easy. And all of us are rookies at it at every stage. And so our kid is only where they're at the time they're at. And so it's a learn on the job. And so God, I just pray for wisdom. I pray for conviction. Lord, I actually pray that we live in the tension. I think it's good that we just don't like buy into everything around us. And we live in that tension of how to be salt, how to be light, how to be out like where the world is functioning. And then how to be a passionate follower of yours. So, Lord, we just rely on you for that. And thank you for your word and for your Holy Spirit and your church that we can process these things through. So, we love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.